From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the ninth day of May, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll check in with Brain Olson at NDSU, North Dakota State University Extension, about prospects for the crop in his area. And we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He is at Everstream Analytics, and it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Our theme music today, by the way, is performed and written by my brother, Tim Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn today settled at $7.72, down 12 and 3 quarters. September, $7.29, 13 lower. In December, down a dime at $7.10 and 3 quarters. That for the new crop. July soybeans, 36 and 3 quarters lower at $15.85 and a quarter. The August 15, 37 and a half, down 33 and a half. And November beans, new crop, down 24 cents. Settlement price there, $14.46 and 3 quarters. Bean meal at $4.02.80, down $10.80. The bean oil at $79.74, $1.16 lower. July soft red winter wheat down 15 and 3 quarters at $10.92 and 3 quarters. And the hard red, $11.64 and a quarter per bushel, down 6 and a quarter cents. Live cattle futures finished at $133.55 in the June contract, up 80 cents. August feeders were down 47 and a half at $174.22 and a half. And June lean hogs for the day at $101.30 on the settlement price, down $2.80. Crude oil at $102.68 a barrel, $7.08 lower. The diesel fuel down 12 and 4 tenths of a cent today at $3.82 and 9 tenths. And the wholesale price of gasoline down 11 and 8 tenths of a cent at $3.64. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down about 500 points now at around 32,315. We're joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Find them online at batescom.net to talk about this marketplace. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, good afternoon, Ty. Glad to be here.
Why were soybeans off so sharply today?
Well, I think we're seeing some backing and filling here, some correction. We're not seeing the aggressive buying from China that we were accustomed to there for a little while. You know, sales have been strong. Shipments are fairly decent. This morning's weekly export shipments was in line with expectations for all commodities, wheat, corn, and beans. But on the bean sector, it continues to be uncertainty of this Chinese lockdown of COVID, the ability to unload ships at their ports and load ships at their ports and so forth. The way I look at it is we should not have a backlog here on our West Coast if there's a backup there in China. So hopefully that gives us a little bit of relief here in the U.S. But just uncertainty there. We'll see how that unfolds here as we move forward. But beans, 30, 35 cents down. But in proportion, corn and wheat also took it on the chin today. Corn, just the idea we're going to see some progress here this week. This afternoon's progress report's not going to show a whole lot of gain here. The average trade guess is about 25% complete as a nation versus 14% last week. Soybean 16% complete as a nation versus 8% last week. But those numbers will hopefully jump significantly here with a clear forecast.
What are your expectations for the USDA report at the end of the week? It will include, for the first time, the new crop WASDE figures.
Well, the analysts have been jockeying around quite a bit here and through here. We're looking at a little better demand on corn and beans, particularly old crop. Ideas of old crop corn could be 1.4, down about 120 million from last month. Beans around that, 280 or so, some mixed ideas on the new crop. Old crop, I got that switched around. Old crop's going to be down about 30, 35 million bushels, and the new crop's going to be about 1.4 on the corn and maybe just under 3 on the beans. So we'll see how those numbers unfold in through here. The key, though, is the world supply-demand balance sheet, see what they do with Ukraine, Russia, exports out of that sector. Other countries are going to have to make that up if we continue to see that grain not being able to be shipped out of there and the way they're tearing up the infrastructure. At some point in time, that's going to need to be addressed. So that's kind of the thing to kind of watch for. I don't know if they'll start to address that on this report or not. Otherwise, like you mentioned, our new crop, we're not far enough along to change the yield a whole lot. So I imagine those numbers will be within trade expectations there.
USDA sometimes will look at the planting progress and make adjustments. And you suggested they won't make an adjustment to the yield. I suppose just not lagging enough behind and maybe thinking that there's plenty of open space here to get a lot of crop planted in the next 2 weeks across the Midwest?
Yeah, for those out there, there's lights on tractors, and so they might be at work all night for about 4 days here to get the crop in, so we'll see how that goes. But the trade's looking for about half the corn crop being in by May 20th and the rest in by 1st of June, so we'll see how that goes. But it's going to create volatility. If you go back a year ago at this time, we saw a corn rally from about 450 up to 638 from April until May the 7th. Well, from May 7th a year ago at this time, we dropped clear down to $5, $1.30 drop in just a short period of time. Then we rallied $1.30 down to about $1.20 and back up about $1.17 back down. There was dollar wide swings in through here a year ago from this April until we got into August. So I think the trade kind of remembers that, and I think the trade's going to be kind of jittery here and quick to be in and quick to be out. So this volatility is going to continue to be extreme. We're going to see wide swings continue throughout the day trade itself. So it's a situation in through here. The weak hearted needs to probably make sure you've got some roll aids.
You mentioned that we'll need to keep an eye on the world numbers from the WASD report. Do you think there will be any adjustments for second crop or safrinha corn? And I think it'll be on the entire crop when you look at it. And will they make any further adjustments on the bean crop coming out of that nation?
That's a great thing because you mentioned that, because this whole South American news has gone to the back burner with the Black Sea news and our weather pattern here and the concerns here in the U.S. But yes, they continue to struggle, and you could probably see a smaller revision on production there, so that could tighten up the world supply demand balance sheet a little bit more too. Yeah, that's a great point. Then secondly too, you can look at these numbers, but we're still in the mindset, and we've been talking about this for quite some time, food security, world food security. And so some of these countries, you know, export-wise might be hesitant to be real aggressive. And we went through a sharp up, sharp down in news with India here last week with vegetable oil or palm oil being exported, Indonesia exported or not, wheat out of India, whether it would be exported or not. So even though these supplies might be a little higher than expected, it's availability and how willing are they going to let these supplies go out of the countries.
We probably should take up livestock. Since the end of March, I think hogs have lost something like $20 a hundredweight. What do you suppose will happen there as we get into the grilling season?
Well, it's a great question. For everyone's been following along, keeping score at home, you should have had those old pork loins bought in the freezer, because pork loins have been fairly pricey in here. The big buy on those was, of course, here late last winter. And, of course, the bacon's going to remain in there somewhat. No, we're dealing with some higher, more livestock on the hog side, the hog numbers. We went close to, you know, lean up over 120. That was at the upper end of the trading range here, and it's the highest price we've seen for a while. So we're going to back and fill here. The thing is the economy, inflation, consumer confidence and spending money. And we're probably going to lose some value on the high-end cuts and probably see people move down to some lower cut value. So we'll have to watch how these cutouts perform here and which product moves and which needs to be discounted to move.
Hey, thank you much.
You bet. Take care.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Well, you know, over the years, since I started hosting the Closing Market Report full-time in 2003, we've had a series of themes. There was a while where I used some really cool stuff, like things from Lynyrd Skynyrd and Creedence Clearwater Revival and George Thorogood. And then things changed, especially as it pertained to using music on the web that belonged to somebody else. On the air at WILL and most radio stations, we pay an ASCAP fee, which means that we can broadcast music that's created by artists. That is not the case when you get to the podcast. So over time, I transitioned to something different. Now, the theme you've heard for this show and Commodity Week, we'll continue to use this for Commodity Week, released for a while, I think, was created in Nashville in 1998, specifically for University of Illinois Extension. I've used it on and off over the years for many different things, though it's probably time to retire it as well. Now, this little bit, that harmonica, that's actually me. I just needed something to get us from one place to another, a transition. And I know some of you really like it, and some of you really don't. I've actually never told anybody before that that's just me. I needed something, and I created it. My brother, Tim, wrote and created this theme, and I'm glad he's given it to us so that we can use it for the Closing Market Report from now on. I hope you like it. I know that I do. And thank you, Tim, for creating a theme. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Frayn Olson, North Dakota State University Crop Economics and Risk Management Specialist with Extension. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, no, it's always a pleasure. I enjoy visiting.
Well, first, let's start with how far along are producers at this point in your area? Are they still lagging way behind, and do you still have snowfall on the ground?
Yeah, well, we are behind, that is for sure. We've had very little planting progress. So to take a step back in time, you know, about a week and a half ago, almost 2 weeks ago now, we had some major snowstorms in the central and western part of North Dakota. There were areas that reached anywhere from 30 to 40 inches of snow, and it was the wet, heavy stuff. And I know the folks in livestock that have cow-calf operations were really struggling and still are, because it's made everything a mess. But on the flip side, that was also part of the state that had the worst drought. Western part of the state really did have very, very dry conditions. And in fact, some areas had drier conditions this spring than they did last spring. Now, with that heavy snowfall and the moisture that came with that, everybody's got a little bit better spring in their step. And most of that snow has now melted. I do expect to see some wheat planting progress as well as canola planting progress start picking up here pretty soon. So the central and western part of the state is going to be catching up. The eastern part of the state, we're still kind of struggling. There's still some flooding going on in some of the river systems. There's more call for rains, so we're going to have to wait to see what that does. But we're behind in the east. The east tends to have a little bit higher yield and yield potential. That's also where we have more corn soybean concentration. So I know this is something that the grain markets are at least paying attention to and trying to figure out what the implications are.
Let's stay with corn portion of this for just a second, and I think that would be primarily in the southeastern corner of the state, Minnesota, Iowa, South Dakota area. What are conditions like there, and are producers more likely to plant more corn acres or more soybean acres in that part of the world?
Well, usually down in that area where you're describing, that is the heavy corn producing region of the state. In fact, you drive through that in the middle of summer, it looks very much like southern Minnesota or northwest Iowa. You know, corn and soybeans, once in a while you find a field of wheat. So that is a very heavy corn and soybean area. Part of that region also received quite a bit of rain last fall. So that is one of the regions we're concerned about for corn plantings. Now, statewide, corn plantings were projected, or at least based on the March planting intentions, were going to be down a bit in the state. I do think most of those reduction in acres will be in the central portion, not necessarily in the southeast, which is really our core producing region. Now, if it does stay wet, we get the additional rains. I do know that there will be some prevented plant where the soil will be so wet that it won't be seeded. But you also have to recognize it's not going to be entire fields. It won't be portions of fields. So we tend to have, we're in the prairie pothole area. So if you have, you know, a quarter section, there will be a portion of that. You may not get seeded, but a large portion, but you will. So that's going to be one of the challenges now moving forward is, you know, how many of those acres will actually get seeded. I do think given today's prices, there will still be an incentive to plant corn, at least in those areas. But of course, if it gets too late, they don't have any problem or hesitation to switch to soybeans.
Where you are there in Cass County at NDSU, you have the largest soybean producing county in the nation. I'm wondering whether Prevent Plant will play a factor in your county and in the central part of North Dakota for soybean, because it appears to be more lucrative.
Yeah, it really does vary across the state. So I want to be a little bit careful when you get into, again, the southeast portion, corn and soybeans, again, with the corn yield potential, you know, corn does play out pretty well. And we do, that's also where we have a lot of our processing capacity for both corn wet milling for a corn sweetener plant, as well as for ethanol plants. So the basis levels are pretty strong in the east, because that's where most of our processing capacity is. So in that southeast region, I think there's still going to be a lot of corn planted, but as you're absolutely right, as we move kind of north and west from that corner of the state, the corn acres start to drop off, the soybean acres continue to expand. It will be, again, as you said, interesting to watch. We got quite a wider planting window for soybeans because we do grow some shorter season varieties. The varieties tend to be more day length sensitive for their flowering, which means, again, we have a short growing season, but we got some very long days during the summer. And so we can plant some shorter season varieties and still get pretty decent soybean yields. So I think farmers will hesitate or think about it very long and hard before they do Prevent Plant on soybeans.
What is basis for soybean like in your area? Is it strong?
It's still strong. From a seasonal basis, it's still pretty strong. I think most of the soybean region is about, for old crop, is about 50 cents under. Normally this time of year, we're probably closer to 70 to 80 under. So it's still a very strong basis. And part of the reason for that, of course, is we just, our bins are pretty much empty. A lot of farmers were a bit more aggressive in selling their soybeans earlier in the season because we did have very good strong basis levels. We had some good price rallies in soybeans. So a lot of the old crop soybeans were cleaned out. We tend to do that up here. We tend to have most of our sales done by probably mid to late February, first part of March. Seasonally is the best time to try and have your sales completed. And a lot of farmers did follow that seasonal pattern. So we don't have a lot left for soybeans. We don't have a lot left in the bin. And I do think that's one of the reasons the basis levels are hanging up there is that we do have some demand base within the region. Locally, but not a lot. You know, in a year or two, we'll have another major crush plant in the area. So that'll be a game changer for us. But given right now, it's really a supply side. There just isn't a lot of grain left in the bin, at least from the soybean perspective.
Is China still a good market for you?
China is still a good market. Again, when we look at China's recent purchases, there was right now, most of them have been for new crop beans. But if you go back, a few weeks, it's actually about a month or so, there was when China came back in because of the shorter Brazilian crop, they were buying a blend of both old crop and new crop soybeans. And we tend to be a very heavy supplier to the PNW, Pacific Northwest Export Facilities. PNW can pull not only obviously North Dakota, but also South Dakota and parts of Nebraska. So basis levels through that at those export terminals are actually pretty good. They are looking for some old crop beans. And I do think that's one of the reasons that we're seeing basis levels hold up pretty well.
Hey, thank you.
Well, thank you. It was always a pleasure visiting. I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Frayne Olson is with NDSU Extension. Joined us on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On this Monday, let's check in with Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics to take a look at the weather forecast for here in the United States and the growing regions. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Midwestern weather. Farmers have been waiting for it to get warmer, and boy, it sure looks like that's going to happen this week. Tell me about it.
Yeah, what an abrupt change here. That's already starting to take place here in the Midwest as temperatures significantly warm up and look to stay warmer than normal, not only this week, but next week as well. But in the short term here, these next 3 to 4 days will feature highs in the 80s, even some 90s. Across the Corn Belt, and with very high dew points and relative humidities, it's going to feel almost like midsummer versus the middle portion of May. And then also of note, too, the pattern across the Corn Belt is going to turn less active now, so that's accompanying the much warmer conditions. And as a result of this, now the Midwest is really getting the amount of dry and warmer weather that they need here to rapidly accelerate planting progress, you know, this week and next week.
Does that count across the whole of the Corn Belt, or are there places that will still need some more time?
In general, across the vast majority of the Corn Belt, well, the only area that will begin to, and they've already seen some slower progress here, very limited, is the Northern Plain. So Red River Valley, that's where activity will be you know, much more significant here coming up, and already with some of the flooding taking place, that's going to be the slow spot. And that's also true for spring wheat in the western part of the Dakotas as well. So that's really the overall slowest region here that we see looking out through the middle portion of May.
So do we have concerns about the Canadian prairies for that Northern Plains area? They had a really tough year last year for parts of the small grains and oil seeds and such.
Yeah, they're certainly better off from a moisture standpoint compared to a year ago, and they're also seeing delays in planting. And at least coming up, it's the eastern prairies, so Manitoba, southeastern Saskatchewan, those areas kind of ran the border of North Dakota, that's going to have some troubles here with planting, especially this week when the highest precipitation amounts will be seen.
Let's move to the southwest and stay with winter wheat this time around. It's going through heading and will soon be beginning to mature. Did conditions ever improve very much for it? And what do you see for the next week or so for them?
Yeah, just for the Plains Hard Red Belt as a whole, continues to be basically some of the poorest conditions that we've seen over the past 20 plus years. And we don't see that changing here going forward. Now, granted, there has been some rain in the past week, especially for areas of like, you know, central and eastern Kansas, too much rain in a few areas there. So there may be some marginal improvement, but bottom line is that no sign of any pattern change that would really begin to improve things significantly. And in fact, you know, this week is going to be on the hot and dry side across much of the region. And that general trend looks to continue into next week. And this heat is a concern since it increases stress on the portion of the crop that is going through the yield-sensitive heading stage.
Thank you much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He is with Everstream Analytics and joined us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.